You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org, and I'm Nicholas. I would like to hear from you, especially if I haven't heard from you before. And just let me know you're listening. Let me know you appreciate the Bible studies here. I know it's hard for most people to endure a program, perhaps as boring as this one is. I think it's only boring because people don't love the Word of God. And I know it's an unusual program. There are not many exegetical teaching programs out there, programs that go through the Bible book by book and verse by verse. Of course, this hour I'm in between books, so I'm taking a little detour just to discuss some things that I have been studying on. And like I said, I'm working on a project, and I don't know, it may take me a year to put it together. Perhaps I need an intern here. A young man that wants to learn some of the skills that I have that I don't have time to do them all, you know, like the video projects and all about broadcasting and what it takes and learn all the ins and outs of it. But tell you what, he'd have to be one godly young man to hang out with me because it's kind of hard to take. I'm not easy to live with if you're a prideful person and you like having your own way, because I like having it the Bible way. And for a lot of people, that seems intractable. But anyway, we're talking about the 2300 days of prophecy. And I think I really covered that as much as I can in a half hour. And perhaps just discussing like that seems like a little disjointed. But these are some of the things that I'm looking into as far as the elements of prophecy, to include in a project that I'm working on. Another thing is, the beast, the second beast of the book of Revelation. And I do believe that's America. I do believe that, many of the prophecy students that have come out of the Seventh-day Adventist movement are right on this one. You know, they aren't wrong in everything just because they're wrong on the 2300 days being 2300 years. And I think if many of them heard my last half hour and they would be studious enough to research it for themselves and perhaps come to the very same conclusion that I've come to. I would be surprised if 100 or 1,000 other people haven't already come to that same conclusion. I just haven't found them yet. So I think I've come up with it on my own. No, not really. That's hard for me to believe. If it's only me, if I'm the only one, then there must be something wrong with it. That's the way my brain works. I must be missing something, but I hope not. So anyone out there, the 2300 days, you got something that shows me up to be obviously wrong on that, well, then please forward it to me. Like I said, I hate being wrong. I want to be right. So I will change my mind. So if I'm wrong, please, you know, send me convincing evidence so I can be right. I do like being right, but not to the exclusion of the truth. Okay, the lamb-like beast, features of the beast. And, you know, if you're out there and you can help me, or in the chat room there are a few people out there. Yes, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, Tony58 says in the chat room. And, yes, I'm a big fan of, McGee many, many years ago when I started listening to him. And he was doing the, expository, that would be the word, expository teaching in the scripture, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But he was doing it, I don't know, he just didn't seem to open some things up. I think he had that 501c3 hanging over his head that prevented him from saying anything political. And also, you know, not so much in his day as today, but it was still there. And, yes, I always enjoyed him. But there were some things, okay. I heard a click there. I didn't know if I lost my connection or something. But yeah, J. Vernon McGee. And also, when I started listening to Bible programs, yes, through the Bible, and I hope this is through the Bible for the 21st century, Tony. So when you tell people, say, hey, I found Through the Bible for the 21st century, because J. Vernon McGee needs to be updated, I think. He would never go after the beast. He would never go after the Vatican. Did he? If he did, send me that study. They're all of his stuff is on the internet. So if he went after him, I'd like to know that. But we're discussing J. Vernon McGee. And then, let's see, during the late 1970s, early 80s, let's see, who else started coming on? It was Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel days, and I remember him. And I remember the definite Jesuit spin on prophecy that they expounded upon. And I loved the man, and I loved his, the Bible teaching. I was really attracted to the expository teaching of the Bible. That's why I pretty much go on into it myself. I was very attracted to it. And so I searched out a Calvary Chapel church in a town local to me, and I started attending there. And so I really enjoyed that, but I was indoctrinated. They had that Jesuit spin on the prophecy issue, which it didn't bother me at the time because I totally bought into it. It wasn't until I really got down, got the word out for myself, and started searching those things out and saying, is this really true? Can the scripture support this? Boy, I started having to throw a lot of stuff out, you know, like Daniel's 70th week being juxtaposed off into the future. I can't find anything in the scripture that supports it. A pre-trib rapture, whatever that means. A pre-last trump rapture, because it says, you know, the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. But before that, there's supposed to be a rapture, another pre-Trump rapture, whatever, where only certain people are caught away, and those that miss the boat or whatever still have 3.5 years. I can't find that in the scripture either. I looked, and it just isn't there. You know, once you lose Daniel's 70th week being juxtaposed off in the future, divided in half to 3.5 years of tribulation and so on and so forth, it doesn't work anymore. Yes, Daniel's 70th week was fully fulfilled in the 70th week of Daniel, right after the 69th week. Imagine that. How could that happen? Let's try this again. Go ahead, caller. I can hear you now.
This is CCF from the chat room.
Oh, how you doing, CCF? Forgive my fumbling here. I'm not used to taking calls, so I forgot to push up that pot. But go ahead. What do you got for us?
What projects are you talking about? I don't guess I was listening at the time.
Oh, well, it's just a project I'm working on behind the scenes here. It's a video project on prophecy, elements of prophecy. And that's what I'm discussing during this hour, just because it's something that's fresh on my mind.
What kind of help would you need? I mean, is somebody that has to be there with you? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm looking for an intern or a young man that wants to be trained in ministry and all of these aspects of ministry, because it's just too much for me. I find that I'm working, like, I get up, you know, I stumble out of bed at 6 because I've been up till 1, you know, and it's my day is so full with everything I have to do. And, you know, I mean, all I can do is all I could offer for someone is room and board, that is food to eat, a place to live, and an allowance. Basically, that's it, because I can't pay salaries or anything like that, you know, because there's not that much money here yet, because I'm only one man, although I do have a guy that comes in here on Thursdays and Fridays and board ops for me in the afternoon so I can do other stuff, you know. But that's what serving the Heavenly Father is a sun up to sun down job. And, it's, you know, continual. And, I have a lot to do. I have a lot of talents, but I can't even use them all. That's the way it is. And I'm exhausted but, you know, He refreshes me with my 6 hours, 6 to 7 hours of sleep every night. So anyway, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Yeah. Any comments? What do you think about the prophecy issues that I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've certainly heard of the preterism.
Right. We know where that comes straight out of the Jesuits. We track it back to them and their influence over all the seminaries, because all the teachers we're referring to went to seminary, and they were indoctrinated just like I was, because they indoctrinated me.
What's school was you talking about that you were indoctrinated at?
Oh, no, I was indoctrinated by Calvary Chapel teaching and also by J. Vernon McGee, and they were seminary trained. The people that indoctrinated me were seminary trained, so I know where their doctrine came from. Because I can trace the doctrine back to the Jesuits. So if you go back to the source, well, you found out where it came from. You go back to the earliest source. Wouldn't that be true? Isn't that logical?
That's logical.
Yeah. So, no, I didn't go to seminary. My brother did, but I haven't seen him in years, but I don't know where he is. Actually, I've lost him. But I haven't. All my training has been through other teachers, but I've learned much more in the past 10 to 15 years since I've been started doing a Bible teaching program on the internet. Really, just a Bible study on the internet and on the radio here. That's what I'm really doing. I don't know if I'm teaching. I think I'm being taught as much as anybody else. The advantage is that I'm here doing it every day, so I get to learn a lot more than most people who don't have that privilege of being able to do this every day. Because most people, you know, have to support their families and go out there and work, so I'm just hoping that they can take advantage of what I'm doing by, you know, getting the MP3s or listening on the radio or however they can listen to this for a couple hours every day, for those that really love His Word.
What exactly is the zeitgeist?
Oh, the zeitgeist, well, zeit means time, and geist means spirit. So the phrase means the spirit of the age in German, and that's what the zeitgeist is. It is the spirit of the age. It's not the spirit of God, because the spirit of our God is ageless. So, and the zeitgeist is referring, most people refer to it as, when they're referring to the zeitgeist, it's a film that came out a year or so, it was a couple years ago. At least, I think about a year and a half ago it came out, and it's on the internet, and
Who put it out?
Who put it out? Well, by the material that's in it, I would say Jesuits put it out, because I know where the material, you see the same material on the History Channel, and we know who controls that, because we know what they teach about history. And we know who they use, because they use all their professors, or the mainstay of their professors, their authorities, are all Jesuit professors from the 28 Jesuit universities throughout America. So we know who's really in charge there, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's all before our eyes. It's all plain to see for those who have eyes to see.
Okay.
So I know when George Maxwell, you know, he's a Blavatsky parrot, if you know who Blavatsky is. And she is an Antichrist character, if ever there was
one. Didn't Jordan Maxwell used to speak out against the Jesuits, though?
Never.
Because he introduced Eric John Phelps at a conspiracy con in 2002.
Oh, yes. He was there, but I'll tell you what, Jordan Maxwell and Eric John Phelps are worlds apart. Jordan Maxwell just lies out, lies and lies and lies. I mean, just Google Jordan Maxwell lies. And I haven't done that yet, by the way, but I'm sure you'll come up with 1,000 hits. Because
I heard he used to speak out against the Jesuits, but then somebody said he got a visit from somebody.
I don't think he ever spoke out against the Jesuits unless there was a time when he didn't know who they were. But I'm sure he knows who they are now, because he is one of them. I'm sure of it. And he is a Blavatsky parrot, if you know who Blavatsky is. So there's no difference between him and Blavatsky, really. And anyway, so he got a lot to say, but anyway, that's what the zeitgeist. You can Google the movie, and it just rips Christianity by turning it into paganism, by really saying that all of Christianity is truly what Catholicism is at the core, and thereby discredits the Bible and all of Christianity, and the Messiah and Jesus and all of Christian thought thereby saying that. Without naming the Catholic Church, of course, they say that all of the Bible, all of Christianity, all of Christian thought is what the Catholic Church actually is at its core, and that's what it does.
Okay. Well, it was good to talk to you, Nick.
Okay. Charles, right? Okay, Charles, thank you for calling in, and we'll open up the phone line, and anyone else can call in for the time I have left here. Anyway, for the last 10 minutes, I just wanted to talk about the lamb-like features of the second beast of the book of Revelation. I'm just jumping around because my notes are jumping around here. And the lamb-like features that this nation was founded upon, because it says, I saw a second beast rise up out of the wilderness, or out of the land, or out of the earth. Those are all interchangeable, at least in the way I interpret it. I saw a lamb-like, I saw a beast rising up out of the earth or out of the wilderness, an uninhabited area, as opposed to the first beast who rose up out of the sea, which means an inhabited or highly populated area. And this is scripture interpreting scripture, and that's how we interpret those this way, because we go, well, what does this sea represent? You search the scriptures, you find out that the sea in prophecy represents multitudes and tongues and nations. And so this beast is opposite. So we take into account a principle of this beast being different, not be rising up out of the sea. It's rising up out of the earth. So that we would take to mean an uninhabited area or the wilderness. Okay. So that's how we come up with that. So this beast rises up out of the earth having two horns like a lamb. Okay. Now the horns are usually successive powers in a beast, or successive dynasties, or successive kings or houses or something like that. They're usually a succession. Sometimes two can reign, but you know, there's not much prophecy to go on here. You only have so much prophecy to interpret prophecy, but we do have enough to know that the two horns represent two powers. Whether they're successive, I believe that they are successive, because I believe that the prophecy tells us that. And it says that it was lamb-like. So I believe that would be one horn, would be lamb-like. But the second horn, I believe is the succeeding horn of power, is going to speak like a dragon. And we see that, we see a transition. We see that the lamb-like features, okay, had two horns, like a lamb. That's feature number one. Speaking like a dragon, that's feature number two. So I might attribute one to the first horn and the other to the second horn of power. So we have a lamb-like beast. So what are these lamb-like features? Well, all men are created equal. That's a lamb-like feature. We hold these truths to be self-evident. This is an establishing document of the nation or beast power. The establishing document says that all men are created equal. Which is akin to love your neighbor as yourself. If all men are created equal, then I can't lord it over my neighbor. What did Yahshua say? He said, you shall not be like others who lord it over one another, but the greatest among you shall be the servant. That is a principle that this nation was founded upon, that those in power were to be servants. Thus we have the term public servant. And we see that also established in other nations where they call them ministers or prime minister. He is the prime servant. He is the greatest servant of all. And they're not there to be self-serving. Well, we've seen a transition. They've gone from serving to self-serving. So we see them going from lamb-like to, well, dragon-like, right? Thou shalt not murder. That's another lamb-like feature. The preservation of life. Is thou shalt not murder from the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And that also gives us the right to bear arms. What is the opposite of that? What is the dragon-like opposite? Well, that is murder. That is abortion. That is the death of the innocent. And we see that's going to escalate. They're going to escalate that to killing they're already killing them after they're born with the, you know, partial birth abortion, and then some doctors just outright kill them after they're born, and then they're going to start euthanizing the useless eaters and the incompetent and the aged, and then after that they're just going to start hunting down the saints of God, because once they get to that point, well, those saints of God are just a hindrance to society because they won't worship the beast, and so they'll be killed too, and with anyone else who won't go along. Usually Jews or fundamentalist Islam, Muslims, or any rebellious Catholics will be murdered. Because if you don't go along, if you want to hold on to those rights that the beast says you have to give up, well, you'll join all of us, true followers of the Messiah, the remnant, you'll be murdered along with us. So might as well just accept the Messiah and have a good end. And I'm talking about that eternal end. So there we see that. How about a just weight and a balance? That's a lamb-like feature that was found. This nation was founded again. You shall have nothing but gold and silver for the payment of debts. That's a lamb-like feature. Comes out of the principle of a just weight and a balance monetary system. So we had gold, silver, and money. A dollar was a weight. You had a dollar of silver. You had a dollar of gold. It was so many grains of gold. It was so many grains of silver. A grain is a measurement. I think there's 28 grains in an ounce. And it's in the law. It was written in the law of the beast or the nation of the government. What's the opposite now? We've gone over to a debt monetary system. That is dragon-like. I could do this for a long time. How about this one? Due process. Establish facts by two or three witnesses out of the Old Testament. Innocent till proven guilty. Due process. We're losing that. Look at what's happening to the child, DPS, child support services. They're doing whatever they can do to take your due process away. And they're doing it by the power of the gun, the power of the beast. And of course, we talked about how the servants are the greatest, another lamb-like feature. And how now it's all you see is greed. They're self-serving. They just passed their $1,500 billion, $1 trillion, whatever. I mean, the numbers are so phenomenal now that they make our heads swim and we just tune out. But they're enriching themselves. You see a president leave office? Boy, as all of his friends get rich, he makes sure he sets them all up. They pass, stimulus packages and stuff. But who gets rich on these things? Who gets all the contracts for all the wars? While they spend billions of borrowed money that can never be paid back. Self-serving. You get into politics these days to get rich. And if you don't get into get rich, well, unless you are a very strong man, strong in righteousness, and you keep your eyes on the Heavenly Father and His law, you're going to be corrupted very quickly because power corrupts. How about our property rights? Well, thou shalt not steal. We got property rights in the establishment of this nation. It was one of the most important things. And they're slipping away day by day. If you don't pay your yearly rent to the state, they're going to come with guns and bulldozers to remove you if you don't voluntarily leave. You have no property rights. They are your landlord now. That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to Cross the Border.